welcome to This Is Your Book Club podcast. I'm Sarah.
I'm Jamie.
Thank you for joining us today.
I can't wait to talk about my books.
I know. I've been looking forward to this one because I've got some doozies.
You kind of left everyone hanging last week.
I know.
With your excitement, so, and even me.
I'm very excited.
So I can't wait to hear.
I'm very curious if you've read this book.
Okay.
But we'll get there.
We'll get there.
Before first we things jump in, first. Yeah, we need our fun fact.
Our fun fact this week. So, one more week until our book club. So,
next week.
The Sundown Motel. Have you read it? Are you reading?
What do you think? We're starting to hear words from some of our listeners that it is scary.
That it's a scary one. Don't read it after dark.
I'm nervous.
I haven't started either. This weekend's the weekend for me, so we'll see.
I'm really...
Because I like scary and dark.
Yeah, I like scary too. But I've noticed over the years, I've become more of a baby about scary things.
And I wouldn't say I am, but this one has me a little bit worried just because of what I've heard.
If you're
worried, and excited.
Then I'm really worried.
I'm worried and excited all at the same time.
I'm with you.
So my fun fact for this week is on LeslieLindsay.com, she interviewed Simone St. James and she asked her, have you ever had any personal connections to ghosts?
Ooh.
And she said, I've never seen a ghost and the thought of it terrifies me. I figured that if it terrifies me, it might terrify a few readers as well. And that's what I draw on.
Really?
So
she just doesn't want to see a ghost and how she'd feel if she did.
Right.
So are we going to see ghosts? Is that what you're telling me?
All of her books have something to do with ghosts.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, so
I'm gonna start seeing them, I think.
She did, and then she goes on to say, however, since the books have been published, I find a lot of people want to tell me their personal ghost stories, and I love to hear them.
Ooh. I don't want to see a ghost.
I don't ever want to see a ghost. No. Yeah.
Yeah.
I could do without that.
Yeah.
My imagination scares me enough.
Yeah, that's the right way to put it.
And I really don't believe in ghosts.
Well, yeah.
So I don't really worry about it. But hearing other people talk about it, I kind of go,
Maybe.
Right? There's some creepy stories out there.
They're really freaky stuff.
Yeah. And then I'm like, shut it off. I don't want to think that I could believe in them. So I don't want to even know. That's another don't burst my bubble. I don't believe in ghosts.
Yeah. So. Okay, so if I can stay firm in my non-belief, then I'll be fine.
Okay,
I can do
that's
that.
That's what I'm thinking. That's where I think that keeps me in a good place.
I like that. I'll sit there.
I'll sit there for a while.
Right there.
And enjoy a good scary story.
Yes. I'm getting nervous, like even just thinking about this. Okay, it's going to be great. Yeah. I won't listen at night.
I can't wait to talk about...
I'll listen in the light.
How you feel.
If I'm scared.
Yeah, I want to... I can't wait to discuss it next week.
I do like a book that makes me feel something. And even if it's scared.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Okay. Well, there's your fun fact.
Oh my goodness.
And I can't wait for next week. It's going to be so fun.
So good.
I've got a lot of books. We're just going to have to pick and choose and maybe put some on the shelf for another episode.
Yes, absolutely.
But
I'm in the same boat.
What have you been reading?
Do you want me to go first?
Yes.
Okay. Here we go.
Okay.
The one that I was talking about last week that I think I had just finished it when we recorded last week's podcast.
Yeah.
And so it was fresh. In my mind, okay? It's
the one you kept everyone lingering. That's why you have to go first.
I was fascinated. Okay. It's called Rust and Stardust by T. Greenwood. When I heard the title, I thought, this must be a fantasy book.
Yeah.
No. It's not. It is fictional, but it's based on a true story, which I did not know when I started reading it.
Okay.
Okay.
Rust and Stardust.
I thought it was just a fictional story.
Okay.
I thought it was fantasy. And then I started listening and I'm like, this isn't fantasy. It's just fiction.
And then it turns out to be...
And then I find out it's based on a real story. So then my mind was blown.
Okay.
So let me give you some premise. This story is about an 11-year-old girl.
Okay.
Who is back in like the late 1940s.
Okay.
1950s. At the very beginning. And she lives in a small town. Her father is dead, and you find out about that. And so she lives alone with her mother. She has an older sister, but she's older and married, so she doesn't live at home.
So she's not there.
Yeah.
Okay.
She is a lonely child, doesn't have a whole lot of friends. And she, one day at school, sees some girls playing and, like, are doing, like, you know, we are best friends kind of things. Like, they cut their finger and, like, are blood sisters. Okay?
Yep. Remember the days?
Yes.
Where we could share
blood? You remember?
Blood and spit? Gross. So gross.
I never wanted to cut myself.
I never did either, but I remember people doing that.
Yeah, I do too.
And being like, we're blood sisters.
Yeah, no thanks.
Gross.
I'll just be your friend.
Yeah.
So she wants to be friends so bad that she goes over to them and asks if she can be one of their friends.
Yeah.
And, of course, they're not, you know, they kind of snicker at her. And then one of them goes, yeah, you can be in our group, but you have to be initiated. And so to be initiated...
Girls can be so mean.
I know. They can. They're really mean. And she's just like, okay, well, what do I need to do? And so she said, well, you have to steal something from the local store. And then you can be in our club. So they said, meet us at the store after school and you can do it. So she battles with it all day because she's a good girl.
Mm-hmm.
And she would never do something like that, but she really, really wants friends.
She wants a friend.
So she goes in, steals, puts a notebook under her shirt, and is walking out, and a man stands up from the counter and catches her. And the girls, of course, that are there watching run away.
Yeah.
And he takes her outside, takes the notebooks, puts it down, takes her outside, and he says he's an FBI agent, and she's in a lot of trouble, and he's gonna take her in and blah, 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 blah.
Totally scaring her.
Oh, she's so terrified. Upset. She's never done anything like this before. Whatever. So yeah. He says, look, I know you're a good girl, and you wouldn't normally do bad things. I can tell. So I'm just gonna check in on you from time to time. But mm-hmm. You've got to be good, and you can't tell anyone about me, because then I'll have to tell them what you did. Okay?
Okay.
So she's so scared, she doesn't tell anybody.
Yeah.
And she goes to school. The next day after school, he's there when she's walking home. Ugh. And he says, look, I've tried to get you out of this, but I can't get you out of this. We have to go to New Orleans.
I do not like
to go to the judge. Yeah. And you have to go in front of the judge.
And she just goes because she believes adults.
And she thinks he's the FBI, and that's very serious. And she did do a bad thing.
Oh, my gosh.
So he tells her that he doesn't want her mom to get in trouble for raising, you know, such a dishonest child, that he makes up this story that she has to tell her mom, okay, that she's going with a friend on vacation. So her mom buys it and sends her off with this man. Okay.
No.
So you find out pretty quick, because this all
this
happens
should be
at
like
the very,
a Netflix
very beginning.
Special also is what I'm thinking.
Oh my gosh. I don't think I could watch. It was crazy. Like, I'm screaming at this girl, and at the same time, I totally understand why she is scared.
Yeah.
Okay? So needless to say, she just keeps thinking, she goes off with him. He's obviously a recently released convict who's done things to
a pedophile.
Young girls.
Yeah.
Yes. And he doesn't hurt her for a while, but eventually. Anyway, so the whole story is about their experience. Her being stuck with him and the things that he does to her and the lies that he tells her, how she interacts with people. Like, he puts her into school, but she doesn't ever tell anyone.
She doesn't ever say anything.
No, and how there's just this, like, the police are always just a step behind and they move all around, and how she eventually is able to go
home.
To
get away and go home.
Oh. I had no idea that this really happened.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't even want to tell you the things that happened. I don't even want to tell you how it ends. You won't believe it. You won't believe how
it ends. I can't wait to read this one.
It's crazy.
This is like, did you watch the Netflix special Abducted in Plain Sight?
No.
Like,
how could you watch it? That's my biggest nightmare.
Okay. Well, I agree.
I can't lose my kids like that.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's just like this story.
Yes.
Like, the things that kids, like, how they groom children, this neighbor that grooms this daughter, and the parents are like, Yes, go on this vacation.
Oh, with his neighbor. Did watch it, and he takes her to Mexico, and like an alien talks to her.
Alien, yes, yes.
My mind was so scrambled. It was bizarre. And you're
yelling at the TV, like when you said, "I'm yelling at her in this book." Like, no, don't go. That's exactly this story.
Yes,
of these kids who get groomed and believe it, and they're preyed on by their innocence
because they just don't know any better.
Yeah.
That it can't be real. These things that they're saying can't be real. And, oh my gosh.
It's an adult saying it. And adults, I'm taught to listen to my adults and be respectful of them.
Yes.
And to do what they say.
Yes.
And that leads, not always, obviously there are, the majority of the people are good people.
Yes. But
it's situations like this where you come across the one creep.
So awful. So, have you heard of the book Lolita? It's a very famous book. And it was written right around this time.
Lolita.
Okay, so now you're going to look up Lolita.
But I gotta look it up.
It is like critically acclaimed. And the word on the street is this author, who is very well known, and I can't think of his name.
Yeah.
Was like working on this story for years, and he just was having such an awful time, couldn't write it, and all of a sudden it all came together, and it was right around the time that this story came out. And so when you read it, and so I went and did, this is why I said I went down a rabbit hole, because I started finding out going. I wanted to hear about the real story and what really happened and how much of what I read was true and not true. And then I'm like, what Lolita? And so I started looking into Lolita because I'd never read that either.
Yeah.
And the story of Lolita is about this man who marries a woman with a young daughter that's like 8 years old, and how he really loves the daughter, but And then the mother dies, and he just takes care
people
of
people are such
girl.
Creeps.
It's awful. So that's like the story of Lolita. So they're kind of saying he references this real life happening when he talks about the writing of this book. And so I'm like, oh my gosh, there's like so many things come out of this one experience. And it is devastating. There's no other words.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm telling you, she goes home, but you need to know it is still devastating.
Devastating. I mean, just, you get home and thank goodness for her, but...
The story doesn't even end there.
Oh, my.
So that's why. Like, you have to read this, and then we can talk about it.
Okay.
But, oh, my gosh. It was so good. I've talked a really long time. It was really good. So it's Rest and Starfist. I gave it 5 stars, because clearly I was totally wrapped up.
You were totally
in it.
Enthralled with
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I was totally wrapped up. I'm curious to see if you will be, too.
Okay. Whew.
Rest and Starfist. Have you listened, or have you read it? What did you think? Tell us.
I'll be reading. I have so many on my to-read list this week. Like,
I know.
Actually, not this week. Like, my whole life.
Forever.
It's the forever long, but I just added a bunch of new ones to it, and I'm getting overwhelmed. I want to listen to them all.
Agreed.
Okay. Have you read Miracle Creek?
I think I have, about the midwife.
No.
No. Then maybe not.
Midwife? No.
Miracle Creek. What am I thinking of?
It's by Angie Kim.
I know.
And it's
I have not.
An immigrant family who came here from, and I don't want to get it wrong now, Japan or China. I don't remember.
They're Asian.
Yeah. And they move here. First, the mom and the daughter come because the dad couldn't come. And so the mom and the daughter come to a host family that's willing to board them. So they're here for years before the dad comes. And the dad's whole goal in life is to give his family a better future. Like, to be able to write home to all their families about how important they are here in the U.S. and that they've made it and are successful. And he was an engineer or something back home. And here, he's got to get reestablished when he finally gets here. And so they're very poor. They live in this, like, shed. And he worked back home with this sub. And it's been a couple of weeks since I've read it. But the whole purpose is to go down into, they go into the submarine, it's for medical advancement. I mean, it's to treat medical issues. So they go into this chamber and they
Like do the something pressure? With,
yeah, the oxygen. It's like an oxygen chamber, and your cells need oxygen to regenerate. And so it puts all this, twice as much oxygen regenerates your cells faster and heals. And so it's claimed that all of these things, I could be wrong when I explain that, like, but it's something along those lines of people who have tried, that have ailments, who have gone to every specialist and are just reaching out on a limb for another medical something that can help them, end up turning to him. And this, he had worked with this back in his country, so he gets a doctor on board to work with him, and he builds it and has this, it's like in a barn on his yard. So they live in the shed, and there's this barn on their yard, and this, they call it the submarine, is on their property in this barn.
So the submarine doesn't have to be underwater.
No, it's fed with oxygen, so it's just hooked up.
Just really pressurized.
It's pressurized, yes, okay. With oxygen. So all of these different people, like there's a guy there for fertility issues undergoing this. Most of the people who come with their children have children who are autistic. And they're just hoping for hope that this is the thing that's going to help. You know, they've tried all these different things. So the majority of the story, and the Asian couple has the daughter there too, and the daughter's a teenager. And so there's all these different stories going on, each individual mother or father or parent of their kids that they're bringing to. And they sit and talk during these treatments about, you know, their organic and this diet that's helping, or this treatment and this treatment that's helping. And just comparing these stories, and things are going well. They're booked. They have clients that are coming, you know, like twice a week to these sessions where they go into this chamber, this airtight chamber, and they're just sitting there. So the kids are in there like watching movies. They put these helmets on. And I don't remember if it's like an hour or a 30 minute. They slowly pressurize it, and then they slowly depressurize it at the end. And one day there's a fire.
Uh-oh.
And the barn is burned down and the submarine is damaged, and there were people in it when it happened. And so it's this investigation of who did it. There's protesters at the time out around the barn protesting, like, that
against it
that these people are, it's medical abuse to their kids, that they've tried all these different things, and just let your kid be who they were born to be and quit, you know, like all these different things they're trying. This group is against. It's like a bunch of mothers that have autistic kids who accept them for who they are.
Okay.
Protesting against it. And then there's the mothers and the parents in there that all have different things going on in their lives, and they don't know what caused the fire. And so there's this trial of one of the moms is up to the death penalty for supposedly causing the thing. And so as it's going through the trial, it's also going through all these personal stories of everyone, and little truths get out here and there, and lies come about, and it's really good.
Really?
Yeah, I really liked it.
All right.
It has a lot, like, it makes you really think, would you do for your kid? How far would you go? To what extent would you try
these? That's a tough one.
You know, like, this is a trial thing. Would you enroll your kid in the trial for the chance of them getting better? And it poses a lot of questions, really good life questions.
Right. You have to kind of self-evaluate.
Yeah.
What would you do?
Absolutely.
Mm.
Yes. And for the family, the Asian family, like, how far will you go to, you know, this dad just wants to be well-known and admired. Yeah. And how far will you go to get that admiration?
And what's the most important thing, really, right?
Yes. Yes. So I gave it 3 stars. It was really good. I really enjoyed it. I got through it pretty quick.
It's on my list. It sounds good.
It was good. I enjoyed it. And you know, it's one of those you're thinking you know who really did it the whole time, and then
ooh, I love things those.
Come in, and yeah, it was entertaining. I was very entertained by it.
Awesome. Okay. Okay.
Okay.
So the next one on my list was Untamed by Glennon Doyle.
Yes, it's been on my list for a while.
I know. We talked about this one being our
chose it for a book club.
Book. But yeah. I couldn't wait. So yeah. I've read it.
So now I can read it.
Now you can read it. She's been waiting.
We've been on the fence with it, so.
It's really good. Okay, I definitely recommend it. If you don't know what Untamed is, or if you don't know who Glennon Doyle is, it is like a self-help book. It's it's a motivational book. She is known, this isn't her first. She's written lots of books that are the same type of book that are just there to help you find happiness. I think that's her goal.
Yeah.
She has quite a life experience. She's
Her journey to happiness.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. Okay. She's very open about it. She shares all of the things that mistakes she thinks she's made and the things that she thinks she got right and she's very, very open and she doesn't shy away from tough topics. So, you know, I can tell you, I feel like I knew this going in. It was probably good to know going in. She has a lot of faith in God. She has a very strong belief in God. You know, her younger self, she was Christian, and a lot of her motivational things were based around that faith and helping other moms within faith, you know, and stuff like that. She was married to her husband of like 16 years, I want to say, and they have 3 children together.
Okay.
And about, I don't know, a while ago, 4 or 5 years ago, she found out that her husband had lots of affairs. And so, of course, that rocked their marriage.
Mm-hmm.
And they went to counseling, and she talks a lot about her coming to terms with that and trying to forgive and trying to stick it out for their family. And then one day meeting a woman who is a famous soccer player, Abby
Wombat.
Yes, that is her. And sees her, meets her at an event, and just seeing her felt like that was her person, even without even talking to her. Mm-hmm. And they meet and talk and exchange like information and just start a friendship, right? But she always feels like she's her person and is realizing that she loves Abby without ever like spending more time with her, just their correspondence, and she loves Abby. And so she makes the decision to leave her husband and be with Abby, whom now she is married to.
Yeah.
So now she's married to Abby and her husband is dating.
Which is interesting because when we left after recording last week, what was on in my car was an interview with Abby Wombat.
Really?
So when you said that, I was like, oh, yeah, I just listened to Abby's like kind of side
Did
of the story.
Did she talk and about
her,
it?
Her struggles with alcoholism and being the best before even being herself.
Sure.
And who she was and who...
That would be a very
married,
interesting
and
read.
She was raised Christian as well.
Yes.
And so, yeah, anyway...
Yeah, well, Glennon talks about her issues with faith, like her, not Glennon's, but Abby's issues with faith and how she feels like that's what she brings to Abby is God.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's very interesting. She talks, you know what, her goal of the book is not to just tell you how great she is because she did this, although there is a lot of that.
Yeah.
I don't think that is her goal. I think she really does feel like the example she gives at the very beginning of the book, and I do think she tries to stay with this throughout, is she took her kids to the zoo and they're there to see this cheetah run where the cheetah chases like a stuffed animal around this big thing and you can see how fast they run.
Okay.
And so the zoologist person brings out a dog and they're like, okay, this is the cheetah's best friend. And she sometimes forgets what she's supposed to do, the cheetah. And so the dog shows her what to do, and then she'll do it. So the cheetah comes out and she's hanging out and sees her little friend and they play. And then they
send a cheetah and a dog in the same area and together?
Yes. And they are friends.
Okay. This isn't going to go bad.
So she watches, like, the little stuffed animal goes and the dog runs and the cheetah watches the dog run. And when the dog gets back, they put the dog away and the send the stuffed animal again, and the cheetah runs.
Then runs.
Okay. And does what the dog showed him to do. So I've learned from
my friend.
Yes, like where the dog reminded me what I'm supposed to do. And she's like, after it was done, they did question and answer, and one of the children, the girls in the audience said, you know, well, does she ever miss the wild? And she's like, and the zoologist was like, oh no, like she was born here. She's never been in the wild, so she doesn't know. And so Glennon's point was like, oh my gosh, like you are a cheetah. We women, specifically, this is for women, we were born in captivity. And we don't know what we're really supposed to be doing. Yes, because all we do is what we're supposed to be doing. And we live the way we think we're supposed to be because it's been modeled for us. Our
society has told us this is what you're supposed to do.
Yes. And so she's like, you need to be reminded that you are wild. And you need to find your wild. And find yourself, okay? So she's giving her own personal experiences on how she found her wild. Mm-hmm. But also trying to help you be brave enough to break out of whatever mold you're living in.
You've put yourself... Yes. Not put yourself in, but...
that you do. I mean, I think a lot of the time, those walls are walls that we've created.
Yeah.
And we may be creating them by the example of others.
Right.
So it was good. There was a lot in it that I was like, this, you know, made me think about my own self and like how I might want to be braver.
Yeah.
And do more. Like, for me, not for anyone else. Like, what do I want? You know, what's going to make me the most happy?
Right.
And I appreciated that. I think there was, like, a little bit of a push to, like, jump on board with her 100%. It's her book.
It's her, yeah.
Okay.
Well, and she's being the example of, okay, so I've done it, and this is what I figured out. Just like the dog and the cheetah. Yeah. Now I've been the example.
Yeah, go do it. Go find you.
You go find you. But don't be her, but go find you.
Yes.
I think that's another thing that we really need to remember, because I think there is a lot of, in our society, like you see these super strong women, and I think the movement is, you know, it started.
Absolutely.
But we can't model what the other ones we're seeing are doing, because that's not doing us any good.
No.
We do our own.
Yeah.
But be brave and
just put yourself out there. Yeah. And it's scary. And I think at the beginning of the book, I was having a hard time swallowing what she was telling. And that's at the beginning. And I didn't have to stick with it. I wanted to keep listening. Yeah. And as it went on, the more and more I'm like, okay, this is better. Like the end, I felt good. So that's why I gave it 4 stars. I really liked it. I definitely would recommend it. I also just think, like, make sure you're listening it and focusing on you. Like, don't think about it in what Glennon's doing. Think about it in what are you going to do? And how can you take this to make you brave? And I think that would make all of the world better if we all did that.
If we all did us.
Absolutely.
And found our brave.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So anyway, I thought it was good. 4 stars.
I can't wait now.
Okay.
Woohoo. I'll be listening to that one soon. I was telling Sarah earlier that I've had it on my hold list for a really long time and it keeps coming available.
She's better
and
than
I
me.
Keep pushing it out a week or two until we decide. And so then it'll come to me a week or two later. And so right now it's available soon again. And I was like, we really need to make a decision on this. So now I just gave me permission.
And so I went ahead and listened. Oh.
No, that's good.
Yeah, it was good.
I'm excited to finally dig into that one. I've been wanting to for a while. Okay, the next one I read and I loved is called Followers.
Followers.
Yes, it's by Megan Angelo. And it is about, so it kind of is two storylines going on at the same time. One taking place in 2016 and then the other storyline taking place in, I think it's 2051. And So you start out with these two characters, Orla, who writes for, this is 2016. She writes for like a gossip magazine type thing. And she tweets and she does all the social media and is, she gets paid for how many likes and comments she gets on it. And so she is reporting on specifically one famous person. And so that's kind of what jumped her career, was her reporting on this one person, which I don't remember that person's name.
Because is it a real famous person?
No.
Okay.
No, not a real famous person. I don't remember, but she's like, what boots she was wearing, what salad she ate at this place, and what, goodness. Like every little so thing she tweeted on it for. And then, so she was getting sent, you know, like people were buying all these things. And so she'd get a kickback on all of these posts she did for this another person. For another person.
Yeah. That is crazy.
And so that was her job as a writer, but she really always wanted to write a novel. So she's in New York City. She's trying to be, to make something of herself, but she's not really making any advancements on her novel. Like, she's not progressing on her novel while she's doing her job that's getting her to be an author. So she's just writing for this magazine, and that's not going to be her career, but she's been at it for a long time.
So it's kind of her career.
So it's kind of her career, but she won't say, this is my career, because she's going to be an author.
Okay.
So then she comes in contact with this other person named Floss, who is actually her roommate, but they never talk. Like, this is just like a New York thing. She needed a roommate. This roommate came in. She goes to her room. She leaves. This roommate is trying to make it and become famous as well.
And like as a actress?
Singer, actress, a personality, anything. Okay. But she does sing, and she has quite a good voice, but she's just throwing herself out there for everything. Well, she realizes and finds out that Orla is kind of jumped this other girl's career from the very beginning. So she comes to Orla, and she's like, can you do this for me? And so they start working together on, you know, it's kind of...
Like the tricks and trades of social media. Her around, is that what you mean?
Yes. So she's putting out, she's making posts for her. She's putting out, you know, little lies here and there, and how, you know, like, and it is making Floss really jump up in society. Like, people are starting to know her. They're going to the parties, and Orla goes along with her, but it's always about Floss. Orla's just kind of the back seat, but they're getting like, they'll state, you know, that Floss is wearing this sweater, and now they're getting all this free stuff from the company of the sweater, and they're staging this whole thing. And then Floss gets a reality TV show out of all of this, and Orla's in it, but Orla's like the back scene, the, you know, just always the back scene one. So it kind of just goes through.
Even though she needed her to become who she is, she's not really acknowledging that and giving her credit.
She's not the star. It's Floss and Floss's boyfriend, and everything Floss and Floss's boyfriend are doing, because he's trying to get famous too. He's got this following on Instagram, but it's all for the followers. Their whole goal in life is followers. Not necessarily that they love each other and are together, but the followers.
Okay.
So that's happening in 2016. 2051, they're talking about that there's been this spill, which has been this like breach of the internet, and everybody's, they just refer to it for most of the story as the spill. So I don't want to go into that, because it kind of really talks more about what it really is towards the end of the book. But because of this spill, which is this internet spill, that kind of shuts everything down. So they're talk about like, I was born before this spill. I was born after this spill. Because society is so different after this spill.
Okay.
And so after the spill, they create this kind of bubble community in California, where everyone that lives in this community, you kind of have to try out for it and be accepted. And you live in this community, and they are televised 24/7.
Oh.
Like, people are watching, like, what's that show with Jim Carrey?
Truman Show.
The Truman Show. It's kind of like that, where...
But everyone knows they're being videoed.
Everyone knows they're choosing to be there, and they have these, like, inset monitors on their wrists that can tell them, like how many viewers they have right now or how many they've lost, or this word in their brain that says, you know, you've just lost 8,000 viewers. You've just, so they're doing things to keep the viewership up because that puts you up higher in the community and you're,
ew.
Yeah. So it's, so, and it goes back and forth between 2016 and 2051. And in this bubble, they're like, everything is man-made, like the leaves on the tree, and then in the springtime these flowers on the tree, and whether the couples, like there's, you know, couples in the neighborhood, when they get to have children and or when they get a divorce, it's all based on viewership. And so
weird.
And it's all orchestrated and set up, and there's no, you're monitored, there's like no getting out, but nobody wants to leave because they're so caught up in being watched and being keeping weird. Their ratings high. Yes, very weird, very weird. Those two worlds have a connection, the 2016
really?
To the 2051. And so as you're reading the book, you're making the connection of how Orla and Floss then in 2051
matter,
what they are in that. So
So
Floss is in this bubble and some other people, but you find out all about who they are and how they get there and stuff as the story reveals.
Ooh.
So it is.
This sounds good.
So interesting on how tied up we get in social media.
Yeah.
And how many followers and how many likes and how many comments and what can we do to get more followers and what can we do to do that. And that it ends up taking over some of these characters' lives, and they put that before family relationships or before thoughtfulness to other people. And what happens when you don't want to be in there anymore? Like, how do you get away from it? So,
I'm fantastic. So interested. What did you get?
Four stars. And it is good.
I am fascinated. Four-star. Okay. I'm seriously adding this right now while we're talking, because no one can see me doing that. And there's not even a wait.
No way. Because this is newer. It was just released January. Yeah. How is there not a wait for it?
This was so good.
It was on one of the summer read lists from Goodreads. So that's why I had it
I've
on.
I've seen it before.
And
I didn't know what it was about.
Yeah.
Wow, that sounds good.
It's really good. I'm really surprised there's not a way.
Right? Like, we live in this. We're doing this.
I think it's very telling that what... another part of it was how much we're looking at screens and phones. In the 2051, it's almost... there is an effect on people from it, and it's almost like an Alzheimer's effect from the blue light of the screen. And so they're... the health effects later on, and whether that's true or not, but it's interesting to think about what we don't know now, what we live in our communities and we're doing now. What are we going to know in 30 years? Like now we think,
that's a very good question.
How can you still smoke? We know so much now. Screens and technology are what we really don't know the long-term effects of, you know. It's just that, what will we learn? What will we learn about culture and our habits right now, 35 years down the road?
I think we're totally screwing ourselves up.
It's kind of crazy to think.
It is.
It's scary.
It is.
Because you would, I mean, I can't say this for everyone, but I would never smoke now. Like, I've seen what it has done to people that I love, and we know so much.
Yes,
and I
think
I will not make that choice. It's not even, it's never even been a temptation for me.
Right.
But.
Because you're not going to hurt yourself.
Right.
So but what are we doing right now that we don't understand is hurting ourselves?
That we don't know is hurting us.
That's a very good question.
Anyway, it was a great book. It was really good. So
that's
there you go.
Awesome.
Followers.
Okay.
If you've read it, let me know.
What did you think?
And if you put it on your list today and read it.
Yeah.
Let us know.
It's on my list.
Yeah. Yay. We've got some good ones
today.
I know.
This is a good week.
Woohoo.
I'm like feeling really excited for our listeners. listeners.
Yeah. Me too. You guys are lucky.
You are so lucky. Okay. My next one is another doozy. Get okay. ready. Like, I have just like, had a stellar couple really of good. Weeks.
Okay.
Okay. Anxious People by Frederick Backman.
I saw that you got that already. It still says 6 months out for me.
Ooh.
I'm so jealous. If I get the Sundown Motel this weekend and don't have to use my credit You're on gonna Audible, use it for I'm going to have to use it. Because it was good.
It was good.
Oh.
Okay. It's I'm different.
So sad I didn't put it on the list right when you did because we were both sitting
we
here.
We were talking and then about I it. You should have. Because I've already listened to it now.
I'm
going to
move for 1 minute.
Mm. Moment of silence for Jamie.
Deep breath. It's okay. I'll get it. I hate having to wait.
I know. It's the worst. I wish I had all the money in the world. Right. I could just buy all my books.
Yes.
Like audiobooks. They're so expensive.
They are.
Okay. So let me tell you about it.
Which, by the way, it was
familiar.
On Book of the Month this month.
Yes, I saw
I
that.
I saw that. But
I did.
It was one of their picks for
be.
The Book of the Month.
It was
yeah.
good.
So.
Okay. Okay. So if you... are not familiar with Frederick Backman. He wrote A Man Called Ove, or Uva.
Uva.
And it's probably my all-time favorite book. Mm-hmm. Just saying. Yeah. Love it so very much.
So
he
much.
Also wrote, like, Britt Marie Was Here.
I love
Britt Marie Was Here. He wrote Beartown, which we've talked, which uh-huh. you've read recently, and uh-huh. we've talked about on our podcast. So he's written quite a few books that are good. Now, we've also talked about how there's quite a difference between Beartown and, like,
yes.
those other two.
And then the other one was My Grandmother Told, that we talked about,
yes.
here. My Grandmother Told Me to Tell You She's Sorry. Such a difference between
Beartown.
Those three and Beartown and the follow-up, which was Us Against You. Yeah.
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 And I would say Anxious People mm-hmm. are is even a different than
Another
them.
Different
yes,
category.
Yes, it's different.
Okay.
It's different. Now, you still get the, like, relationships, like, the dynamic between people, which he does
really,
so well.
He is
He does
really
it so well. But it's just different. Okay, and I will say, at the first part, I was confused.
Mm-hmm.
So just, no, you'll know what I'm talking about. It's confusing.
Okay.
There's a lot happening in this book. And there's a lot of characters. And so at the
okay.
beginning, when you learn who everyone is, trying to keep everyone straight, understanding what exactly is going on, because I'm imagining A Man Called Uva, which is simple, but
yeah.
lovely.
So lovely.
And so there's a lot more going on.
Okay.
And it's more complicated.
Okay.
So it took me a minute to, like, snap in. Once I did, I really loved it.
Yeah.
I really did. So it's about, you find out from the very, very beginning, that there was a bank robbery.
Okay.
And the person who was robbing the bank ran out of the bank and into an apartment complex where there was an open house for an apartment viewing, right?
Okay.
So an apartment was for sale and it was an open house to come and see this apartment. And then the bank robber ran into there and took the people that were there at the viewing hostage.
Okay.
So you are jumping back and forth between as it happened and after the fact when they're interviewing the people who were being held hostage
okay.
in the police station.
And those are the anxious people.
Everyone in the book
is
an anxious person.
Okay.
Everyone. For different reasons.
Yeah.
You think, oh, they're anxious because they were scared.
They were scared. No, they have their backstories and
yes.
how it's affected with this situation.
Yes. And each character has... is so full, right? Like, there's just,
yeah.
they have their lives, and you can see who they are, and you can understand them as characters. That's why we love him, and he does it
yeah.
again so well. He is really good.
Yeah.
But it's different, and
he
so
really
you just talk about...
deep
yes.
characters.
And then the same time, you're trying to figure out who the bank robber was,
mm-hmm.
and you're trying to figure out why they would do it,
mm-hmm.
and whatever happened in there when he had these people hostage. You're trying to figure
yeah.
it out. So the whole time, I was, like, loving getting to know these characters and then also thinking that this is how the bank robber did it and got away. And there's a backstory from 10 years prior that's connected to them. And anyway, it's so good.
Oh,
it's so good. I'm excited for you to read it.
I'm just excited just purely based off of him.
I know.
That he wrote another book.
I know.
With nothing else.
Yeah.
And then you add that storyline to it, and
yeah.
I can't wait.
So when I read it, I don't think I really even read a synopsis. Like, I just, I got this book, you know?
I haven't seen anything except Anxious People in the cover.
Yeah, me too. So it was very, and maybe that will help you not be quite so, like, lost as things are happening.
Okay.
Because that was my only hiccup. So I gave it 4 stars just because I was, like, a little bit lost at the beginning. But I thought it was great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ooh, I can't wait. Fun. And I'm still sad. A little bit sad that I'm not fifth on the list. So that I could get it right after you. We'll see what happens in the next week. Another one that I've waited a little bit for. So my next one is The Beauty in Breaking, which is a memoir. It's written by Michelle Harper. And it's got 6,000 ratings on Goodreads.
Who's she?
She is a emergency room surgeon, not surgeon, emergency room doctor.
Oh, wow.
And so you wouldn't know her from anything, from anything else, but, it's on Goodreads. They gave her 4 stars. I gave it 4 stars. It is so beautifully written it's like poetry. Honestly, what? She takes her experience as a child. She grew up in Washington, D.C. with an abusive father, and she eventually breaks off a relationship with him because she realizes later on, as an adult, that this is not a healthy relationship and she no longer has to stay in an unhealthy relationship with her father. So she goes many, many, many years without ever talking to him. But she discusses throughout the book his effect on her life. And her effect, she's an African-American, she's a black doctor going through medical school as a black female and, you know, everything that was up against her being successful and making it in life. And her feeling that she could be successful and make it in life because she grew up with this father and this trauma that was she ever doing things right? And who is on my side to help me? So in her childhood, one day she said, this is very typical of black families in America. You don't call the police when there's a family disturbance. Like, her father and her brother are in a fight and it's getting really out of control.
Yeah.
You don't bring police into it. But one day she does. And when the police come and they're, you know, talking back and forth to the dad and the son, and what the son has done is that they should both go to be taken to jail because they have both fought. But the son was defending the rest of the family members and trying to keep them safe. And so to keep the son safe, the mom says, I don't want to press charges. Everything's okay. And the police leave and never follow up with anything more. And so she's thinking, where was my safety in that? Who was going to root for me or protect me or follow up with our family to make sure things were really okay, because they weren't really okay. So she talks about that that experience, and as she becomes emergency room doctor and she's seeing these marginalized people come into the emergency room, who is standing up for them? Like, there's a bunch of procedures that happen in the ER that are illegal, but they're typically happening to African-Americans, people who are addicted to drugs. Their rights are not even taken into accountability because of who they are, because they're marginalized. And so the police will bring them in and say, you know, there's one example in there that that this person was caught swallowing something. And so they thought they had swallowed drugs. And so that she needed to do an examination on him to find what they swallowed during the arrest. And she's saying, and this guy is super upset, yelling and screaming, I don't know why I'm here or why I'm being arrested, and just kind of being out of control. And she goes over to him, and he's an African American.
Yeah.
So she goes over to him and is just talking really calmly with him, treating him like a human instead of a captured animal. And just saying, sir, you're here today because of this. If you've ingested drugs, these are the things that, you could die because of this. You could have this. Would you like me to examine you for these things? So to help, you know, like,
so that there those are things these don't risks, happen to you.
But it is your choice. I'm not, you know, I can't force you
to let me examine you.
That is, you have a right to be examined or not. And he says, no, I don't want to be examined. And so her whole fight in it is, you know, we've got all these other people who won't, you know, for religious reasons or personal reasons, that don't want to go through chemotherapy treatment, that don't want a blood transfusion. And we give them the right to choose, and we write on their medical file against doctor recommendation. Yeah. And so she's saying this guy deserves that same choice. And the police officers are mad, and they call in, and some of the nurses are even mad because they're like, this is what we always do when the police come in. We do what the police say.
But that's not
so they call in
right.
The ethic review board, and the ethic review board is like, actually, no, you can't force someone to an examination or a treatment that they don't want to have done.
Yeah.
So she kind of is standing up for these people, whether right or wrong, whether they really are guilty of it or not. If there's not evidence by a police or this was done, you know, there are rules of what you can and can't do in an ER and how often they are
set aside,
thrown out.
Yeah.
Because of who they are.
That is fascinating.
It's really good. And she goes through all these scenarios, and she goes through all these different personal things. Like, she goes up for a certain position on the board that's never been given to a woman. And she's the most qualified. She's the only applicant. Nobody else even applied for it. And they still passed her up and said they're going to keep it open and continue to keep looking. So just how she's marginalized as well. And
that is disgusting.
She wants to give other people the chance and stick to the rules for everyone. Nobody should have the rules overlooked or...
Oh my gosh.
Anyway, it's just, she is the champion
really
of
good.
Everyone in her ER, whether they are guilty or not. Because they're human.
I love that.
And it's really well written. It's a pretty quick read.
That's awesome.
304 pages. It came out in July of this year.
Oh,
I've been waiting since then on hold for it.
All right.
It's really well written. And it's another, makes you think about what judgments we make based off of our standards
title.
Against other people's standards.
Yeah.
It's called The Beauty in Breaking by Michelle Harper.
Breaking.
And I gave it 4 stars.
That's on my list. That's awesome.
It was really good.
It's good really story. A pretty cover, too.
Yeah.
First, I had to look at it. Go check it out. There's like a human skeleton, almost like an x-ray in orange.
Uh-huh.
And then there's a blue box over at the top, except for a section is cut out. And at first I'm like, what? And then it dawned on me, it's the heart.
It's the heart, yep.
It's so pretty.
Just
anyway.
The outline of what a heart would be, but the skeleton. Yeah, it's
cool. It. Yeah, it's really cool.
Yeah.
I love it. Okay.
And it has some medical things in there and about, you know, what happens when this happens. And I love that kind of stuff. So it's a great, well-rounded book of the mental health and physical health and the psyche. And
I love that.
Yeah, it's great. Great book.
Strong woman.
Yes, another strong woman.
I'll take it.
Yes.
Okay, one more from me.
Okay.
You ready? It's another good one.
Okay.
I read The Silent Patient by Alex Michaelides. Have you read it?
Yeah. It's super.
What did you give it?
Well,
I just finished it yesterday.
Okay. I think, I'm going to look it up. I think I gave it 3 stars, but as I've thought more about it, it's one of those that I think should have more.
It is totally one of those. Okay.
Because it just, you just
I don't,
don't.
I know. You don't even
don't.
Know. You don't even know.
I won't say any more. I don't know.
I'll give you the premise. So this book was recommended to me by my friend Anya. She's like, Sarah, are you reading this book? And she, you know, you need to read this. And so I was like, I'll put it on the list. It's about, the premise of the book is that there's painter. You gave it 4 stars. That's what I gave it. I gave it 4 stars.
Okay.
There's a, she's an artist. I shouldn't say a painter. She's an artist and she paints. And she's married to a man who is a photographer. And they're very much in love. But one night, the police are called and to her home and find, when they get there, find her whole bloody and shaking and crying, very upset, but also like stunned. And in the room across from her, her husband is tied to a chair and has been shot multiple times in the face. Okay. And the gun is there that shot him, and hers are the only prints on the gun. But the problem here is that she refuses to speak. So from that moment on, for the rest of the book, she does not speak. And so she goes through the trial. She is convicted because there's so much evidence against her and she's not saying anything. But because she's not saying anything, she's clearly unstable. And a doctor convinces the judge to have her sent to his mental hospital.
And he's caring for her.
Yes.
Right.
In the meantime, you learn of a psychotherapist who works at a different facility, but when he watches all of this go down, and he's fascinated with her and that she doesn't speak, and feels like he could save her.
Yeah.
He's going to get her to speak. Mm-hmm. So you watch him for the rest of the book trying to understand what happened as he meets with her family and loved ones and people who knew her. And you also get to see what's happening in his own personal life as he tries to break through her shell and get her to speak.
Speak.
Okay. And so you're trying to figure out with him, like, did she really do it? And why did she do it? Because supposedly they were very much in love. Yeah. And why isn't she speaking?
What's the cause of her not speaking?
And if she didn't do it, then who did? And the whole time you are jumping from character to character to character, trying. It's like a great big whodunit.
Yeah.
And I never saw the end coming.
I agree. And don't they preface, maybe I'm remembering wrong, it's been a while since I read this, that she's not speaking, well, they don't know, but they're thinking, is this, she's choosing not to speak, or is she so traumatized
there are that both she can't theories.
Speak? Right.
Both
okay.
theories.
There were two theories there on that. That's kind of what I
so
remember.
So they don't, people in the medical field don't agree.
Okay.
On exactly what's happening there.
Okay.
You know, some are like, it's a lost cause. Like, you're not, you know, she's never going to. And others are more inclined to think if she had the right opportunity, maybe she would.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's very fascinating. And you don't even see the twist until the very end. Yeah. And then all of a sudden, it's the end.
Yeah.
And you're just like, what? Yeah. What?
That's exactly. You just sit there and stare like, huh?
Seriously, I texted Anya and I was like, I did not see that coming, and I am like the brain explode emoji. Like, what the heck just happened? And how in the world did I just read this whole book and never guess that person?
Yes.
Never.
Right.
It was good.
It was so good.
So I gave it 4 stars. It was so good.
I have this little community of friends that like this kind of, like, the thriller murder mystery.
Yes.
And this was one that the texts were going around.
Okay.
Like, this
has been out a
everyone.
Little while, hasn't it?
It says I read it in April. It came out in 2019.
Okay, so not that long.
February of 2019. But I almost want to say I read it last April.
Okay, so about
but
a year
it doesn't
ago.
Say 2019 on my thing. It just says I read it April 14th. I finished it on April 14th. But it could have been this year or last year. It seems like a year ago, but maybe it really was almost. Isn't time
it's been
so
the
weird right now?
Weirdest year. Yes, it is. There is no measuring time right now.
Okay. So for my last one, where did I go? I read A Very Punchable Face.
A Very Punchable Face. No, that's an awesome title.
Right? another one I waited a long time for. So it was a good week when things that you've had on hold for a long time come up.
Yes, that's how I feel.
It is a memoir written by Colin Jost.
Oh, which I he's
from Saturday Night Live. He's the anchor on Saturday.
He's so funny.
He's hilarious. And it's just, it's funny. He reads it himself. So if you listen to it. Yeah. And he talks about like how he became to be on Saturday Night Live and his career and his growing up. And I'm just fascinated. I love to find out people's backstories. He's very well educated. He was a writer on the show. That was his goal in life, was to be a writer. And then all of a sudden they put him into
one of the skits.
The skits. And that's, I mean, he didn't really start out doing that. But, and how stressful that position is, like being the head writer, and how much time and stress and, you know, and he's engaged to Scarlett Johansson. I did not know that.
I didn't know that.
They first met when she appeared on the show once, and they didn't start dating after that. But so he kind of talks about that, like his first, like when he first saw her, what he thought of her. And it's so sweet and cute. And
yeah.
So then I kind of went down a rabbit hole of looking up pictures of the
two
of them.
Yeah, I love that stuff.
They're adorable. And he just is, I mean, he says a very punchable face, but he's just a really likable guy. And I think he's funny on the news desk. And,
oh, so funny. I totally agree.
And the ins and outs of creating Saturday Night Live and how he got there and his experience at, I think he went to Harvard. And he grew up in Staten Island. And, you know, his education was a big deal to his family. It talks a lot about 9/11. In there, which I was actually listening to this over the weekend of 9/11.
Wow.
So it was like, oh, but he gives a beautiful tribute, and it talks about his mom was a medic for the fire department. And she was at a hospital checking up on a patient when she heard about it. And so he was calculating, you know, like how long it would take her to get from her morning rounds in the hospital to there. And so she wasn't supposed to be there yet. So the lines were all down and he couldn't call to make sure she was okay, but she shouldn't have been there at the time. So he was assuming she was okay. But as soon as she found out, she said she got in to downtown, in faster time than ever. There was no traffic. And she kept thinking like, this is the greatest. How lucky am I? There's no traffic. Well, there was no traffic because everyone's fleeing and nobody's, you know,
yeah,
nobody's going anywhere because of it. But that the people she helped, the people they lost,
oh my gosh,
and his later, what's the other guy on Saturday Night Live? I love him. I think he's so funny. That his dad was a firefighter and he was lost in 9/11. Pete Davidson.
Oh.
And so he wouldn't know it at the time, but his later co-actor Pete Davidson, his father was lost that day. So they talk a lot about that and just the trials in life and overcoming things. And it's just a really good lighthearted, I mean, that's heavy there talking about it,
yeah.
But I love hearing those first-hand accounts.
I do too. I don't
of
think they ever
how
get
it
old.
Really affected one individual person or one individual family and the community that, you know, that she worked closely with the firefighters. He knew a lot of the firefighters really closely. And those firsthand accounts are just a reminder to us of how much was lost that day.
Yeah.
And using, you know, how many people just went running to help. And the heroes and all that were involved. Yeah, super amazing. And him coming from, you know, he got some scholarship or got accepted into this really prestigious high school, which was like a 2-hour train ride.
Wow.
Every day to get to high school. And he never really fit in because he was from Staten Island and just overcoming life hardships all around.
Wow.
And his sense of humor and how that helped him get through things. It's great. It's a great book. And it's, you know, it's not too long. It's pretty quick. I want to see 336 pages. I love listening to him tell the stories and funny stories.
Well, you know, you'll laugh, right?
Yeah. Yeah, there's a little bit of all emotions in there, and overall laughter and how laughter heals us. So
I love that.
It's a great book.
Awesome. A very punchable face. I love it. We're thinking the same. Yeah. That's awesome. So, awesome.
4 stars for me on that one as well.
Very good. That's on my list now.
Fantastic.
What a good week.
Right? Those were some fantastic books. And more keep coming out.
I know.
We're trying to keep up.
Like, I think we were talking about this probably earlier. Like, my TBR list is so long.
Right.
Like, I'm really anxious to... I'm always excited. Like, yes. I'll finish a book and be like...
I've been waiting for this one.
And I try to give myself, like, a minute between books, right? To, like, sit with the book I just finished. Mm-hmm. And just kind of feel how I feel about it. And then I'm like, okay, what's next?
What's next? And I'm so excited to jump to, like, what am I going to read next?
I love it.
I love jumping to the next. Sometimes summer, like, have been so heavy that I'm like, I got to listen to a funny podcast in between.
But then
I jump right to a book after the podcast. So give me an hour.
Yeah.
I'm jumping into the next book.
Totally doable.
Yeah. But sometimes I finish one and jump right into the next one.
Yeah. It's just... Lately, what's been coming up on my hold list has just been like boom, boom, boom.
Things I've been waiting a long time for. Yeah, I agree.
It's been fun.
It's been a good couple weeks.
So, what are you guys reading out there? We'd love to hear. Do you have recommendations for us? Because I am always looking for
your recommendations.
Please send them our way.
Yep.
And thank you for listening today. Next week, make sure you tune in. It's our book club podcast.
Yes.
We're talking about The Sundown Motel by Simone St. James.
So, you've got a week to read it.
We can do this.
You can do it. You can finish it in a week. I believe
in
all of you.
Give me a little bit of motivation.
Yeah. And I can't wait to talk about it.
I'm so excited.
Yes.
Okay.
So thanks for all the comments. We've been hearing from a lot of you this week.
It has been so great to connect with so many people. So
keep sending us your questions.
We love it.
And we'll put it on our question and answer episode. We're loving the questions we're seeing. So
I know. So good.
Send more.
And you can find us and send those comments or questions on Instagram. Or Facebook or email.
And our email is thisisyourbookclubpodcast@gmail.com.
Yeah.
So thank you to Amphibious Zoo for our music at the beginning at the end. We love it.
So fun.
And
that's it.
I think that's it. I'm Jamie.
And I'm Sarah.
And this is your book club.